in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna for another installment of Naturopathic Radio. Of course, you can call me Gregory and you can find me at the website www.naturopathicearth.com. That's going to be N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-I-C, earth.com. Welcome back to another installment for our listeners in Guayaquil and Cochabamba. It'll be a radio de la tierra naturopático. Yes. So today I'm going to be talking about elimination diet. Now, this isn't some sort of diet where you're going to eliminate your feces. Sometimes you use that terminology when people are talking about you need to have a bowel movement and eliminate your feces. We're not going to talk about that type of diet or action today. We're going to talk about food allergies. Food allergies are very common, very, very common. There's roughly about 15 million people in the United States that suffer from them. And that's actually probably a conservative estimate because a lot of people have food sensitivities and really don't know about it. They really don't. So it's kind of like the amount of illegal immigrants or undocumented workers in America is kind of lowballed the number, anywhere from 12 to 20 million, where we probably have like 50 million. It's the same thing here. So a lot of people have food allergies and don't know about it. And we're going to talk about the symptoms in a second. So really fast, find me on Twitter. I'm very active there at Naturopath Earth. I'm also on Facebook at Naturopath Earth as well. So let's talk about food allergies. I think when most people think about food allergies, they think of the child who needs to walk around with the EpiPen because he has some sort of anaphylaxis or anaphylactic shock because he inhales some peanuts or some peanuts are in the dust. I know there's a lot of schools nowadays or elementary schools that don't even allow parents to let their kids bring nuts to school in the event that, you know, a particle is somehow dispersed in the air and lands on somebody with anaphylaxis, and then they're going to have to use their EpiPen. About 30, 40 years ago, you really didn't see a lot of food allergies. This really has risen in the last 30, 40 years, and there's a lot of theories as to why this is. One of the most prevalent ones is the vaccination. Some sort of, I don't think it's the vaccine ingredient per se. Let's say it's not like the live flu virus or the polio virus, but it's the ingredients, the preservatives they put in there, the mercury, the formaldehyde, the aluminum, and this is somehow having an effect on the kid's immune system where they get allergic to food. I personally don't know. I'm not a big fan of la vacuna, as they say in Spanish, the vaccines, but I really don't know. I don't know if somebody, some insidious person in the CDC knows why food allergies are higher. I personally don't know. Fortunately for me, I really don't have one aside from being lactose intolerant. But, you know, some people, it's a major problem. It's a major problem. So I did see a study recently that showed that if you are trying to curb your child's chances of having a food allergy, you should expose them to the common food allergies at a very early age. Now, you might think this is counterintuitive because if your kid's got a nut allergy and you give him a peanut, you know, and he has anaphylactic shock, you're going to have to like intubate him at the house. You may be kind of worried about it, but hey, I'm just a parrot that reports things that I hear. So let's cover the most common food allergies. Of course, there's going to be nuts. The most common of that's going to be peanuts, which actually are not even part of the nut family. They're an interloper into the nut family. They're actually a legume, which is beans and lentils. And I love lentils, a lot of fiber. The paleo world, you're not supposed to like the beans. That's why I'm more of a quasi-paleo kind of guy. Quasi. But I do like the lentils and the nuts. I love the nuts. I eat nuts all the time. You know, one of my big sinful pleasures I mentioned in that interview with Kate McCall is turbinado salt chocolate, dark chocolate covered almonds. Man, I can just throw those down like they're Scooby snacks. One Scooby snack? Two Scooby snacks? Three Scooby snacks? okay. That's how I am. I just eat like 25 of those. And I just justified, well, it's very keto. Yeah, it's very keto. All fat. Yeah, it's all fat, but come on. It's a little junky junk. We got dairy, eggs, shellfish. That's going to be the sea life. Sugar, believe it or not, legumes, and grains. Of course, you know, when we think of grains, we think of gluten, phytic acid, and nuts, and legumes and whatnot. Dairy is probably the most common one. The thing with dairy is this. I've mentioned this before. We are the only adults that consume milk. And the one of the reasons why people get lactose intolerant, and a lot of people are born this way, but some people, they just develop it, is that we, if I remember this correctly from my old and youngin' days, we have an enzyme called lactase, and lactase helps break down dairy. Now, the body can handle dairy on small amounts, but the older we get, we stop making lactase. So lactose, which is a protein enzyme that's found in milk, comes into our body. Lactase isn't there to break it down, and so we have digestion issues, hence the classic symptoms of lactose intolerance, which is flatulation and abdominal bloating. I've heard some studies where we have about 5 to 10 pounds of undigested, curdled dairy, molded dairy in our 20 feet of intestines. Don't know if that's true. I do know that all of us have hairballs in our stomach or undigested food matter that are called bezoars, the Turkish word bezoars. It's kind of a funny name, kind of like couscous. But I'm not sure about the dairy thing. What I do know is really there's no legitimate reason why we should be eating dairy. So, yeah. Eggs, I would hate to be allergic to eggs, but some people are allergic to eggs. Shellfish, yeah, I could live without. There's a nearby restaurant I go to that has really good calamari. And I've been eating calamari about 25 years, and I just found out like a week ago that it's squid. Pretty funny. Like, I used to think tiramisu was a Japanese dessert because it sounds like, hey, would you like tiramisu? Hi. You know, like so many Japanese words end in U, right? And I don't think of a lot of Italian words that end in U. So I know a tiramisu is kind of like a, you know, it's got the lady fingers and it's cold because I love my cold desserts, right? But I just assumed it was a Japanese dessert. You drink what? Sake. But no, it's Italian. Sugar and then grains. So the biggest, most common food allergy is probably going to be the grains because the grains have lectin, they have phytic acid, and they have gluten. Gluten's a protein found in wheat and in barley and rye. But, you know, with wheat, we think of flour. Everything's got flour. We mill it down to flour. We put in all the processed foods. So the symptoms or the estimates, it's like maybe 40 to 50% of Americans are at least sensitive to gluten, sensitive to it. And then you have that small percentage that actually has celiac disease where the ingestion of the gluten will cause the body to attack the microvilli, which are the cells that allow us to absorb food. And they attack those cells, and so it's a wasteland. So those people literally can't eat gluten. If they do, they can get sick, and they can theoretically die. But typically, they're just very, very malnourished, and they're in pain all the time. But a lot of us have probably a sensitivity to it. So some of the classic symptoms of a food allergy. Now, if you're experiencing some of these things, and I want to mention, for those of you who are not kind of listening-centric, and apparently there's 7 types of intelligence, if one of you is more likes to read, I'm reading essentially off of or gleaning off of my article on the elimination diet on my website. So you can always read it there. But like my confessions, I kind of go off the script a little, but I don't really talk a lot about pop culture on these podcasts because I try to keep these short and sweet. I try to be succinct because brevity is the soul of wit, which is what Hamlet tells Polonius in Hamlet because Polonius likes to yibber-yabber and I'm trying not to yibber-yabber. So symptoms of a food allergy. Bloating, right? And this isn't like food baby after you eat and binge. I mean, this is like a regular meal and you get the food belly, the baby belly, the food baby, and you just get all bloated. Abdominal pain, maybe some rashes on the skin, difficulty breathing, that's going to be more of that anaphylaxis. Brain fog, which is a great term that you hear in kind of the paleo world about people who have lack of concentration and impaired cognition. This is commonly due to ingesting too many carbs. You got foul-smelling flatus, and flatus is the medical term for farts. And some joint pain. So those are the most common ones. And amongst those, really going to be bloating and the abdominal pain and stinky flatus. and then you have some problems concentrating. So those are going to be the big ones. So if you notice when you eat a meal, if you have some of those symptoms or you've been struggling with these for some time, maybe decades, you're like, well, because you're just normal, you know, like, and we think this, right? It's like, I guess I'm always just bloated after I eat because you really don't think about it. Aha, but there is a solution. We'll call it elimination diet. And diet really isn't the best word for this, but it's facilissimo, as my Aunt Mello would say. You know, she likes to throw an issimo, which always means like it's like an adjective ending for in Spanish for something exaggeration. Like, tú eres precisísimo. Is facilissimo. Well, anyways, elimination diet is very easy to do. So if you go to a traditional allopathic doctor, what they'll do is an allergy blood test. These are kind of pricey. So let's say you are bloated and you're like, man, I think I'm allergic to gluten or dairy. I need to get this checked out. Go to that doctor. They'll do an allergy blood test. Lots of times they're not reliable. You get a false positive or a false negative, and they're pretty pricey. So let's do it the old-fashioned way. So let's go over how to do an elimination diet because this is important. Step one. Remove all foods that are possible food allergens from your diet. So you're probably thinking, well, Gregory, how am I going to eliminate dairy, grains, and sugar? Is that pretty much the standard American diet? Yeah, it kind of is. But no, I mean, there's meats and produce. No one's really allergic to meat. So you think, well, this might be a sacrifice to get this out of your diet, dairy, grains, sugar, all the things I just mentioned before. But you got to think long term. Got to think long term. If you are allergic to one of these things, it's better to suck it up and take them out of your diet for 3 weeks. Anyways, you still have meats, fruits, vegetables. Okay, so about after 1 week of removing these foods, you'll probably feel better because these are the most common food allergies, right? It only makes sense that you're going to feel better. So the brain fog might go away, the bloating, the stinky flatus, and all these things might go away when you start eating a cleaner diet, when you take all these out. Okay, so that's what you do. You're gonna take those out for about a week. I think a week's fine because I don't expect you to do like a 3 month elimination diet, and really you don't need to do it for that long. And I want to mention too, there's other food allergies. Some people are allergic to chocolate, for example. But heaven forbid if I was allergic to the cacao, I think I would go crazy. Luckily, I don't think I'm allergic to it. Though I was listening to NPR, and apparently we are having. There's some like cataclysmic report that within 10 years, we're going to be out of cacao because there's some pest that's eating the cacao plant. Also, I don't know if some of you know this, but most of our dark chocolate or cacao comes from West Africa, where we used to have blood diamonds, where apparently the henchmen, the strongmen are recruiting and impressing, not impressing, like I want to impress you with my good looks or something like that. No, impress is the old British term for when you essentially someone's walking down the street and just grab them and throw them on a boat and they become sailors for the British Navy. That's what it is. So in this case, they're impressing young kids to go work in the cacao fields, pretty much at gunpoint. So now they call it blood chocolate. So when you're looking at your chocolate bar next time, just know A, you might not have it in 10 years, and B, some kid with an Uzi pointing at him probably harvested for you. So enjoy it, and literally enjoy it because it's probably coming at the expense of some little kid. So step two, reintroduce one suspect allergen 1 week at a time. So after 1 week of purifying your diet, I recommend reintroducing grains or dairy first, since those are probably the most common culprits. So let's say after 7 days, you go clean. On the eighth day, bring back one of them. So let's say dairy, okay? Now you want to consume the very high lactose food. So your milk, you know, the ice cream, stuff like that. There's some foods like Greek yogurt that really don't have a lot of lactose. Ghee, for example. But, you know, the typical standard American diet's going to be, you know, milk, ice cream, stuff like that. So reintroduce that. And if you notice that your symptoms don't return, the brain fog, the flatus, and all that, then you're probably not allergic to dairy. Okay, so try that for a week. Bring the dairy back for about a week. Don't overdo it. Just bring it back like what you normally do. And then let's say day 15, a week later, you bring back nuts. Same results. No anaphylactic shock, no rashes, no brain fog. Hey, well, then you know you're not allergic to nuts. Nice. Let's say on the 22nd day or into the third week, you bring back grains. Uh-oh. Immediately the bloating and the flatus and the pain and the brain fog reappear. Bingo. You know you're allergic to grains or you have some sort of sensitivity. So at that point, what you can do is actually go to the doctor and do the blood allergy test. But really, what's the point? What is the point? You know you're allergic likely to gluten. And this is why you hear all the, you know, I know like the whole paycheck kind of D-bag arrogant cry like, oh, I don't eat gluten. Half of them might not even have a gluten allergy, but it's like the fad thing to do. It's so big in the zeitgeist right now to be in the in crowd. You got to be like, oh, I'm gluten free. I mean, honestly, look, we've been eating grains since the time of Jesus, even way before time of Jesus. I mean, grains are not, well, let's leave it to a separate podcast. We can talk about what's the issue with grains. So that's what you do. And let's say you do grains and the symptoms don't come back, then do shellfish. So you keep doing this. You introduce each of these food allergies 1 week at a time until the symptoms come back. The symptoms will inevitably come back if the symptoms went away that first week when you got off of them. If the symptoms never went away, then you're not allergic to the big six allergens of, you know, legumes and wheat and nuts and whatnot. Maybe you're allergic to chocolate. So that's something you have to keep in mind. But most likely, if you eliminate the grains, legumes, nuts, sugar, shellfish, eggs, dairy, then it's probably going to be one of those. So that's it. It's simple and inexpensive. The short-term sacrifice one must make to eliminate these foods belies its long-term benefit. So even though you might have to suck it up and eliminate these foods for a little while, you'll know what you're allergic to. And at that point, you're going to have to make a decision, guys, because if it's something like legumes, you could probably live without beans and nuts, especially when you got tasty cashew butter. But if you're allergic to dairy or grains, which are the big ones, yeah, it's going to be tough. You could go down the road of getting lactate, you know, those nasty milks where they take off the lactose. But, you know, honestly, I think it's probably easier to be allergic to dairy than to grain, because you can always go the almond, the coconut, ice cream and milk, the rice milks and all those, even though I don't necessarily recommend those. You have that as a recourse. With the grains, you either have the choice of going gluten-free cookies, gluten-free cereals, which just have a lot of sugar, right? Just because they're gluten-free doesn't mean they're healthy for you. Just because you buy something a whole paycheck doesn't mean it's healthy just because it's a whole paycheck. It just means that it might be organic and they don't spray it with the pesticides and growth hormones. So you have that option. But let's focus that on another time. So the last thing I want to mention is, look, if you really don't want to have food allergies, kind of adopt a paleo ancestral lifestyle. I mean, the paleo lifestyle is kind of geared to kind of go in sync with what we've been eating since the beginning of humans, which is going to be foods found in nature. Like the saying that I have, if God didn't make it, don't eat it. So if you kind of adhere to a paleo, and I'm not saying a strictly paleo diet, because again, paleo, I honestly don't think, even though I'm a quasi paleo kind of guy, I do eat my naan. I eat my bread on occasion, because I'm not going to, you know, deprive myself of the beauty of Middle Eastern bread. But it's smart to maybe, you know, not eat a lot of it and don't eat sliced bread every day. But if you adhere to a paleo diet, you largely avoid a lot of those food allergies. You're certainly going to avoid the sugar and the wheat and the dairy, because most paleo people don't eat dairy. So it's just something to think about. You know, our body through evolution is quite adept at metabolizing naturally occurring foods, and we're not as good with foods that we just introduced into our diet about 10,000 years ago. And you think, well, Gregory, 10,000 years is a long time. It is, but it's a speck in 10 million years of human history. It really is. So you just got to think about it. Look, chances are, if you do an elimination diet and you find out what you're allergic to, your weight's going to drop, or at the least your waist is going to shrink. Your skin will likely clear up. You know, that's another thing, we talk about acne another time, or maybe I'll interview somebody who's a skin specialist. But skin is kind of like the outer manifestation of an inner malady. We think of skin being, you know, things that we put on our skin, and definitely you should clean your face after you put on makeup. But typically, skin is typically an autoimmune issue, you know, if you have rashes or there's something going on internally. But if you do an elimination diet and you find out what you're allergic to, you will likely drop weight and you'll have better concentration. And your skin will clear up. And probably the most cogent or convincing reason you should do an elimination diet is, you know, who chooses to have stinky flatus if one doesn't need to have stinky flatus? So that's all I got for today. So review my posts if you like, read this article if you like, or go somewhere else and read on elimination diets. As I mentioned, I think it's really important. This could change your life, and it's such a simple thing. So until the next excerpt, take care, God bless, and take care of your body. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.